Have you ever been in a dark environment where you cannot see anything? Have you ever been kept inside a room with all the curtains down and all the lights out? You have no clue what's inside the room. You cannot even find your directions. Well, in such an environment, what would you do? How would you feel? Totally darkness. You scared, nervous, lost, frustrated. But imagine, all of a sudden, all the curtains are up. And someone opened the door. You are free. You are ready to go. And when you can see again, what would your first reaction? And how would you feel? The song that John sang for us a moment ago is called Amazing Grace. It is one of my favorite, and it was written by a British man called John Newton, who was born in the 18th century. In the first verse of the song, John wrote, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." It is a very beautiful song, and it touched a lot of souls. Why? Because this song is based on a true story. It is about John himself and how his life was changed by Jesus. Indeed, he is the one who was lost, but is found. He is the one who was blind, but now can see. John was born in England. He had a father and a mother. Because his father was a sailor and he spent most of his time working aboard, John spent most of his childhood with his mother. So you can imagine, John and his mother were so close. John's mother was a very dedicated Christian. So when John was at home, she taught John how to sing Christian hymns. And she loved to tell John stories from the Bible. It was always her wish that one day John will also become a dedicated Christian like her. But unfortunately, she died when John was only 7 years old. And her death was so traumatic to John, which turned John into another person. John became a very angry and a troubled kid. His attitude and behavior put him into a lot of trouble, and not long after his mother's death, John was expelled from the school. When John was 11, he decided to follow his father's footsteps and became a sailor. He was hired to work on a slave ship, but the nature of the job and the lifestyle on the ship turned John into an even worse person. He gambled, he hired a prostitute, he got drunk all the time, and he took drugs. Not until the spring of 1748, which was almost 30 years after his mother's death, John, this prodigal son, finally returned. In a journey back from Africa, John's ship hit right on a big sea storm. The storm was so strong that nearly sunk his ship and took his life. John was so scared. He was so helpless. And when it came to a time that he knew that nothing can save his life, John kneeled down on the floor and prayed. Well, I think it was the first time in 30 years that he prayed to God. He begged for his life. He asked for Jesus, for his mercy and his salvation. And it turned out that it became one of a life-changing event, a changing experience for John. Because Jesus answers his prayer and miraculously led him through the storm. He encountered with Jesus on that ship, in that storm. And from that day on, John's life begins to change. He returns to his faith. And like he said, he was blind before, but by the grace and the mercy of God, he saw again. He was lost, but by the salvation of God, he was found again. This life and death experience pushed him to rethink his future. And he took this opportunity to reset the course of his life. He quit his job. He was no longer working on the ship. And year after, he became a pastor in a local church. How could he do it? How could someone like him, the prodigal son, return in such a way? How could such a man change? I don't think it is he who had the power to do it. It was Jesus and his transforming power that can change John's life. And this is exactly the message John tries to convey in the song, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You can imagine how grateful and joyful he was when he sang this song. Have you ever been blind? I don't think so. When I was young, I had very strong eyes. I can see things very clearly, even though they are far away from me. When I left Bible study, I brought my pocket-sized Bible. The font size is so small, but I can still use it without any problem. But when I reached the age of 40, I felt something different. I felt something change in my eyes. My eyesight was deteriorating. I need a large print Bible. Sometimes, even I have my glasses with me, I still cannot see the words very clearly. The words look so blurry to me. I did not know what's wrong with my eyes, not until my eye doctor reminded me that I may have presbyopia. Do you know what presbyopia is? Well, according to Wikipedia, it is very common, especially to those who are over 40. Presbyopia is the deterioration of eyesight caused by the aging of the eyes that results in progressively worsening ability to focus clearly on close subjects. So when you get presbyopia, it indicates that you are getting old. Yeah, of course, I can prescribe a better pair of glasses to compensate my worse eyesight, but it still cannot solve my problem completely. Because the doctor said, presbyopia is not recoverable. There is no way you can have your healthy and strong eyesight back again. I must accept the reality. I must accept the reality that my eyes will keep deteriorating and it will continuously affect my work efficiency, my study habits, and my everyday activities for the rest of my life. Yeah, I know. It is not the worst. I'm not blind, just bad eyesight. Yet, it has created a lot of troubles and inconvenience to me already. I cannot imagine what it would be if I were blind. I hope I will not be blind one day, but what if it is not my eyes which is blind? What if it is my heart? If my heart is blind, then what kind of troubles I will get myself into? I guessed. If my heart were blind, I would not be able to understand myself clearly. If my heart were blind, I would not be able to aware of my weaknesses. If my heart were blind, I would not be able to know my mistakes, and surely I would miss my sins inside me. If my heart were blind, I would not be able to see the darkness in my life for sure. And this is serious. But you know what? The reality is that there are indeed so many people in this world many people around us, maybe including us, their hearts, those hearts are blind. They can see with their eyes, but they deny what they see because their hearts are so blind that they did not even aware of. Well, I can give you an example. One day, Jesus and his disciples saw a beggar on the street. He is a blind man. Many people knew this man because everybody around knew that this man was blind when he was born. And when the disciples passed by the man, somehow a question suddenly popped up in their mind, and they asked Jesus, and they asked, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" What kind of question is that? The question sounds a little bit weird, isn't it? But indeed, it is not that weird among the Jews. Because in Jesus' time, the Jews believed that suffering was coming from the punishment of God because of someone's sin. Either the sin of the one who is suffering, or the sin of his parents. So if this man is blind, someone must sin. But who sinned? The man or the parents? This is the reason why the disciples asked this question when they passed by. What did Jesus say? Well, it looks like that Jesus did not really interested to answer this question. He did not answer this question directly. Instead, Jesus tried to shift their attention to somewhere else. Rather than focusing on the cause of this man's tragedy, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand one thing, that God can still use a person to glorify himself through one's weaknesses. Therefore, he answers his disciples. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And having said these things, the Bible says he spilt on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he puts the mud on the man's eyes and said to the man again, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." Imagine you were this man. Would you go or would you stay? Would you go to the pool or would you stay at the very same spot? Let's have a survey here. How many of you will go? Can you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you will stay? Can you raise your hand? No. But where is the rest? So I bet you are struggling, right? I think I know why you are struggling. Because you struggle, because you know that the pool of Siloam is at the other side of the city. I do not know that. I do not think that it is easy for a blind man to go there without any help. So if I were the man, I might hesitate. I might stay. Not that I don't believe Jesus has the ability to heal me, but why do I need to be healed at this point? I was blind since I was born. I never see the world ever. I'm used to be blind. I'm used to live like that in the darkness. Why do I need to be healed now? I can't even imagine what it will happen if I can see. So, if I were the man, to be honest, I may choose to stay. I might just stay in my comfort zone, sitting at the very same spot where I'm used to sit every day. But fortunately, it turned out that man went. Even though he did not know what to expect, why? Well, I guess he might not know what would happen, but he might think, Why not give it a shot? Why not just go and see whether it could be an opportunity to bring some changes to myself? Who knows what will happen? Well, perhaps this is why this man went to the pool of Siloam. He put his head into the water and washed his eyes. And when he pulled his head out of the water, suddenly his eyes opened and he could see. This is actually the first time he saw with his own eyes in his entire life. He saw color. He saw people. He saw horses. He saw houses. He saw animals. He saw flowers. Even himself. Just like the song Amazing Grace says, he was blind, but now can see. Can you imagine how he felt at this very moment? I'm sure he was shocked. Not only him, but also the entire city was shocked. Because everybody who knew this blind man came to say, John chapter 9, 8 to 9, "It is not the man could use to sit and beg." Some said, "It is he. It is he." Others said, "No, no, but he is like him." But the man kept saying, "I am the man." He intends to let all the people know that it is really he who was blind, but now can see. You can sense his excitement here. But the people continue to ask, "Then, how were your eyes opened?" So the man answered the crowd. He repeated his story over again. Everybody was so surprised with what they have heard. And this surprising news finally caught the Pharisees' attention. Now, in fact, the Pharisee did not really like what they heard, because this whole healing incident was actually happened on Sabbath. Do you know Sabbath? According to the Jewish law, people are not allowed to work on Sabbath. And it is a sin to work on that day. And healing the sick was indeed identified as a kind of work here. So the Pharisees were so nervous about it. They just nervous about what just happened here. So they sent somebody to bring this man back to the synagogue, and they intended to interrogate this man before the public, because they really want to find out what's happened. They want to know how this happened, who did it. They want to know who broke the Jewish law. They want to make sure that someone will be punished by this thing. So they brought the man in, and then they forced him to testify in front of everybody. So the man repeat his story again before the Pharisee and told them again how he was healed, who instructed him to wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam, and how his eyes opened after the wash finished. But the problem is, even though he gave his testimony honestly, the Pharisees still didn't satisfy. They did not believe in this man's story. And they, in order for them to justify their reasons, they tried to convince themselves that the man was indeed a flawed. They even thought he was not blind at birth. And what they needed to do was just to find evidence to prove that this man was in fact a liar and his blindness was a fake. Why? Why could they think like that? They knew that many people know this man for years, and they could testify. Some of them even knew this man's parents, according to the story, and they could testify that this man was a real blind. Perhaps, I guess, some of the Pharisees knew this man too, but they still choose not to believe. Why? I think one of the reasons was that the man's testimony was totally out of what they can imagine. It was not what they could expect. How could a blind man can see again? How could a blind man can be healed in such a way? It was illogical and unreasonable. And if it is illogical and unreasonable, that means it must be impossible. This man must be a flaw. Otherwise, they must admit that Jesus was really the one who healed the man. But the problem is, the man was healed on Sabbath. Then Jesus must be a sinner because he broke the Jewish law. But how can a sinner perform such a miracle? If Jesus was right, then they must be wrong. They saw Jesus as a threat to them. So even they saw what he had done to the blind man, they still chose not to believe. This is exactly why the man responds in this way. The man said to the Pharisee, at John chapter 9, 25 to 33, he said, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Why?" This is an amazing thing. "You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listened to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opens the eyes of a man born blind. But his men were not from God. He could do nothing." The man's mind was very clear. He knew what he had gone through. Unlike the Pharisee, he did not deny what he saw and what he experienced. Well, he might not understand everything Jesus said at that point, but he chose to accept what had just happened in his life. The Pharisee was so pissed when the man responds them this way. They couldn't answer this man's question, so they kick him out from the synagogue. How come there's such a huge difference between the Pharisee and the blind man? The man was blind in his entire life, but once he saw again, he could see even more and deeper than the Pharisee. Jesus knew that this man was kicked out from the synagogue. So when they met again on the street, Jesus took the initiative to approach the man. Jesus said to the man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man understood what Jesus meant. The Son of Man was referring to the ones who healed his eyes. So the man answered, "Who is he, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. He was willing to open his heart to accept and to believe what Jesus would do and what he did to him. He believed that Jesus was the one from God who had the authorities to heal him. Unlike the Pharisee, he did not refuse Jesus. And Jesus said, this is how he brings judgment to the world. For those who do not see will see, and those who see may become blind. How come there was such a huge difference between the blind man and the Pharisee? They both saw, or even experience what had happened here. But only the blind man was able to see what's really happened here. Perhaps the key is on how they perceive their encountering experience with Jesus. When the Pharisees encountered with Jesus, they saw Jesus as a threat that might destroy their comfort zone, a threat that it might challenge their usual ways of living. Like I said, they were bounded by their limited imagination and they were stuck to their status quo. Not only they did not desire to change, but they want to make sure that nobody can touch them, nobody can challenge them. So even though they encountered with Jesus and saw what they saw, they still refused to accept Jesus because he saw Jesus as a threat to them. But the blind man was different. He did not perceive Jesus in the same way. When he encountered with Jesus, he saw his encountering experience as an opportunity. Perhaps he did not understand everything Jesus says to him, but he saw it as a chance, as an opportunity for his life to change. Perhaps he did not know what kind of change he would experience, but he was just a blind beggar. He knew that. And if he did not take this opportunity to do something at this moment, he might probably continue to sit at the very same spot he used to sit every day for the rest of his life. In the process of encountering with Jesus, he let Jesus intrude into his life. He listened to Jesus and followed his instruction. He went to wash his eyes in the pool, and it turned out that his eyes were opened. Not only his eyes were opened, but also his heart. His heart is opened. He saw Jesus as his Savior, and then his life changed. Jesus not only saved him from his blindness, but also saved him from his spiritual darkness. So now his eyes can see light, and his heart can see God. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So, my friend, you might have a pair of good eyes, but it doesn't mean you're able to see everything. Something you must see with your eyes, but some things that can change your life, can transform your life, you must see it with your heart. When Jesus comes, do you see him as a threat or an opportunity? When he invites you to let him intrude into your life, do you see it as a threat or an opportunity? When you sit here and hear a piece of message which is intended to challenge your life, do you see it as a threat or an opportunity? Do you see it as a threat which will endanger your status quo? Or do you see it as an opportunity that can push you out of your comfort zone and bring you into a fruitful life? A life which is so fruitful that's even beyond your imaginations. When John Newton was walking in darkness, his heart was blind. He was not able to see his future. But when he submitted himself to God and followed him, and see his encounter with Jesus as an opportunity to let Jesus to change his life was transformed from a life in the darkness to a life in the light. When John was 82, he became a real blind. But his mind and heart could still see. And he once said, my memory is nearly gone. But I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. And before he died, he instructs his descendants to engrave an epitaph on his tombstone. And he said, John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, washed by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. John Newton saw his encounter with Jesus as an opportunity to let Jesus change his life. From a person who was called himself a great sinner to a person who was used by God to preach his good news. So, what do you want for your life? What do you see when you encounter with Jesus in this room every Sunday? Do you see it as a threat? Or do you see it as an opportunity for your life to be changed and be transformed? Do you see it as a chance for you to have a fruitful life which is beyond your imagination? Well, if this is what you see, or you want to see this in this way, why don't we have a word of prayer and take our heart, take our eye to the Lord's. May Jesus open our eyes. May Jesus open our heart so that we can see him vividly every Sunday here. And may our life be changed by his transforming power. Let us stand and have a word of prayer. Our Lord Jesus, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for giving us such a wonderful story about how a life which was transformed by your grace. We might be blind, but by your grace we will see again. We might be lost, but by your grace we will be found again. So today, we pray that you will be make your presence known in our life. We pray that you will clean our hearts and take us deeper in the intimacy with you. We pray that you will remove all the distractions and obstacles in our lives that keep us from your presence. Lord, lead us into the repentance of our sins that have taken us away from you. Let us encounter with you in this place so that we will walk in your light. We will dwell in your house and see your face. We will hear your voice and know your will. We will follow your will and walk on your path. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see you. Lord, open our heart so that we can experience you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I see. Shall we receive the benedictions from our Lord? May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. You may be seated.